In this lecture, I'm going to talk about APA style, which is a certain style for listing sources in your paper and showing where you got your ideas from in your paper. And it's geared towards students in my Seneca classes, both in my degree and my diploma classes. APA style is now the required style for the COM course and for general education subjects in the CELS program at Seneca, and that's why we're focusing on APA in our course. So what is an APA citation? Well, a citation is something in parentheses at the end of your sentence, something in brackets, that shows where you got an idea from or where you got some words from. If you have used specific words, those words need to be in quotation marks. And if you've used an idea from someone else, then you need to identify where you got that idea from as well. And in APA citation, typically you have the author name with a comma, then you have the year of the source, and that's followed by a page number if the source has pages, or a paragraph number if the source is quite long and there's no pages. So for example, some websites are really quite long and you need to identify the paragraph number so that you can find that section again. And the page number or the paragraph number is important if you did a direct quotation, meaning a quotation of words that's in quotation marks. But the paragraph or page number is not as important if you just took an idea from the source. However, if you did take an idea from the source, you still need to use in-text citation. And these in-text citations happen right after the sentence where you used the idea or the words. So just because you put something in your references list does not mean that you have adequately shown your source use. Just because you put something in your references list is not enough. It's not adequate. It's not sufficient. Every sentence where you used some idea or words from someone else needs to be followed with an in-text citation. So this means that many of the sentences in your body paragraphs will be followed by in-text citations because they contain facts or information or opinions that are someone else's. So the exception to this would be your topic sentence and your concluding sentence and your thesis. These sentences do not usually have in-text citations because they contain only your ideas. So in the PowerPoint that accompanies this podcast, you can see some examples of correct APA style in citation. So you really have to pay attention to the punctuation, the commas. You have to pay attention to the spacing within the in-text citation. And you have to pay attention to where that in-text citation occurs. Usually it's at the end of the sentence. All of these things, if you do them wrong, it looks like you've made a typo or that you haven't proofread your work very well, and it doesn't look professional. So using correct APA style is one way that you can signal to your reader that you've worked hard on this project, that you are taking the ideas seriously, and that you are a professional kind of person who is diligent and works hard. And I know that's a lot to take in based on punctuation and spacing and so on, but that is exactly how written language works, right? So if you know the conventions of written language, then you are signaling to your reader that you're a knowledgeable, professional, literate, educated person. In the rest of this podcast, I'm going to talk a little bit about how you can find good sources on your topic. So the first place you want to head over to, because you are a Seneca student, is the Seneca Library's search page. And there's a couple of different ways for you to find sources right away. Maybe the quickest way is to hit on subject guides. So hit the link to subject guides. These are sorted alphabetically. And they're subject guides which give you good sources in a lot of different fields. So if you want to start doing some research in early childhood education, look for that topic in the list. Or if we are reading articles about gender and work, you might want to go down to Women and Gender Studies or Sociology. So if you click on Sociology, there's a number of tabs at the top that are gray. So articles, ebooks, and videos and websites, you might want to click on Background Information. So the Background Information tab in the Sociology area gives you a number of encyclopedias in the area. So Encyclopedia of Sociology, Encyclopedia of Social Psychology. So right away, you're looking at good sources that can provide you with reliable information on a topic. Or let's head on over to child and youth care. So from the subject guides page in Zeneca Libraries, head on over to child and youth care. And if you click on child and youth care resources, there's a number of books that right away you can link to directly. So you don't have to search for these. You can just browse and look at some of the books that are related to the topic that you've chosen. So let's go back to the main search box on the Zeneca Libraries page. I wanted to highlight the subject guides for you because I think students often just skip past them and they go directly to searching in the search box. So let's say we've picked a topic that we want to research, such as family routines at the end of the day, and we're going to use some keywords in the search box to find some articles. Now we're going to look at what it is like to look for articles in the Zeneca Library database. Now, one of the challenging things for looking for articles in a database is that you need to start out with good keywords, and you actually need to spend some time thinking about what keywords would be useful for your searching. I'm going to use four keywords that I've developed based on reading the Robin Simon article and the Charles Duhigg article. These are both articles that we discussed in the past couple of weeks in the Calm class. So the four keywords I'm using are daily, routine, family, and sociology. So I put those four keywords into the search box and I hit enter and it just searches everything in the Zeneca database. And the results it gives me right away are pretty general and they're not necessarily articles. They're not necessarily short newspaper articles and they're not necessarily easy to access. So at this point, once you've got the results, I would hit the advanced search link to the right of the search box. And this is where you can select the material type that you want to find, and you can select just articles if you want. And when you select only articles, you're going to get things that are a little bit more focused on your topic. Another approach is when you're doing the advanced search, select all items for material type, but on the left in the gray area, there should be a section for content or material type. And here you can select newspaper articles and select newspaper articles and hit apply filters, and you will come up with articles that are shorter and more readable because, of course, newspaper articles are a lot more easy to access and easy to read than scholarly journal articles. At this point, when you are looking at these newspaper articles and you want to select some of them, what you're going to be looking for is the green link that says full text available. You want to be able to access the full text of that article. Once you click that link, you're going to be presented with a number of different databases. Those different databases are listed in red. So for example, Academic OneFile is a database that should contain the full text article. And then you click through to that article and then you will finally be able to read the article. At this point, you should download the whole thing, copy and paste it, or download and save it. You want to be able to refer to this article later on when you are working on your essay or your research report.